180 degrees. And especially my branch, Columbus, Ohio. Let's stand by for the Monday Morning Postal Podcast. I start this morning's podcast off with some outstanding news. And that outstanding news is, although the local president in our local headquarters, especially the local trial board, has tried with everything they have to get me removed from the ballot. I have a decision from National that says I'm going to be allowed to participate in the ballot. And let me just explain something so nobody gets this twisted. The local trial board found me guilty of returning a regular mail handler back to work. Again, I posted my evidence on Facebook, and at least 800 people kind of agreed that, yes, I'm just being singled out for some of that special local 304 treatment. But nonetheless, understanding the guidelines in our Constitution, I appealed it to National, and I have what is called a stay. Okay? And again, we're going to look at my appeal, but until the National looks at my appeal, I'm going to be allowed to participate in the election. Now, this is what I like to start off by saying, is I really, 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 this is where I need the support of Local 304. You see, the fact that I have a stay, it is important to me now, not just to win the election, but we have to, when I say we have to win this election by a huge amount. So we show our national office that they didn't make a mistake by understanding and agreeing to hear my appeal. So, again, we have to win by a large number. That being one reason. And the other reason, and I got to tell you, this is what I feel. If I don't win by large numbers, then the local president and his team members are going to rob me of this election. And I know a lot of you who hear my words think, wow, every time he speaks, he being I, there's negativity about the local coming out of his mouth. Well, again, as I said to you when I first introduced myself to you, I don't make statements that I can't back up. So what I'm going to do probably later in this week is I'm going to do a podcast on what the election board did to me when I ran for branch president. And again, I only put this information out because I want you to understand that your local 304 current headquarters has a different agenda, and taking care of the members is not on that agenda. Keeping each other friendly and in a paid status is what their agenda is all about. Now, even though every dime that comes into the union comes in as a direct result of union members paying dues, your local 304 headquarters has forgotten that. And right now is the time for us to send them a message from the membership that we haven't forgotten. And we're going to vote Ken Hodge in office, and we're going to get back on the road to solidarity. And more importantly, or just as important, compliance. Let's get to our Monday morning podcast, because trust me, we'll cover this election. And as we start the podcast, Columbus, Ohio, again, I like to speak directly to you because I'm there. No one has to tell me what it is that we're going to talk about because I live it every day. Now, let me tell you, something that's interesting that's happening in Columbus right now. There's a level 4 mail handler job posted that you must have license, pit license. There's a level 5 group leader job that no license is required. Come on, Columbus, Ohio. We have to open our eyes and see these little things that's going to lead to big things. Did you hear what I said? There's a level 4 position that requires a license, and you have a level 5 group leader job that doesn't require a license. Radical change from what we're used to. And while we're discussing that level 5 AGV group leader position, which does not require you to have a pit license, I got to say to you, all kind of red flags should be going up right now as you gain knowledge on these AGVs. First thing, and again, I've already explained to you my background, and I've already explained sometimes I see things because I was a part of it that the union's not seeing right now. And let me say this to you. You send mail handlers out to Portland, Oregon on a training assignment. And the place they go doesn't even have the same positions. Their mail handlers in Portland, Oregon are not called group leaders who are responsible for the AGVs. So I'm sorry, right away, hold it. As a union leader, you mean to tell me we have the same position in Portland as we have in Columbus, Ohio, with different names? Again, these are the things that we have to attack as a union. Now, again, in all fairness to your current local president, he's been retired so long that he really doesn't understand the impact of these changes. So, in all fairness to him, he's been retired that long that he also understands that decisions he makes, they don't affect him. If he said, okay, I'll go with the management and we'll bring 50 robots in, guess what? His retirement check and his union check is still going to be the exact same amount. But here you have a president that works with you. The decisions I make are not going to just affect you, but they're going to affect me also. So, again, right off the rip, if you knew that Columbus members were going to Portland and you don't have a report of exactly what took place already, again, another character flaw that you don't have to worry about with Ken Hodge. First of all, if I'm the local president, I'm going to Portland, Oregon. Okay? I'm going to Portland, Oregon. I'm going to be that train the trainer. I'm going to be that individual who sees firsthand what happens and knows exactly on how to educate and train my union. I'm not going to wait for somebody to bring me back a report. That's just Ken Hodge. But like I said earlier, again, he's been retired so long that I understand why he doesn't grasp the importance of this type of innovation coming into his local. I'm going to take a minute or two here just to answer some emails that I get at my Kenneth Hodge at npmhu304.com email address. And one of them is an email concerning and these are not out of Columbus, Ohio. Let's make that clear, because I don't mix words when it comes to my branch. But question number one, a level 5 driver is constantly being made to do level 4 work while a level 4 is being put on higher level just to reduce all the writing that I got on that. That's what it comes down to. And I want to say to the level 5 driver, here's your job description. As a mail handling equipment operator, mail handler level 5, you operate a jitney, forklift, or pallet truck for the movement of mail and performs other mail handler functions as required. Point blank, period. Your duties and responsibility. 1, operates a jitney, forklift, or pallet truck as a qualified licensed driver in the performance of transporting mail within a postal facility. 2, moves empty equipment utilized in transporting mail to storage or staging area. 3, performs routine safety inspections on vehicular equipment utilized, reports deficiencies. 4, observes established safety practices and requirements. 5, performs other mail handling duties when not occupied as a licensed driver. Your supervisor will be an SDO or other designated supervisors. Selection method is senior qualified. Bargaining unit, you belong to the mail handler. And your key position reference is KP0010. Now, having read that, all I can say to you is this. If you are a level 5, your duties and responsibilities are two things in here that says, 1, you perform other mail handler functions as required, and 2, perform other mail handler duties when not occupied as a licensed driver. Now, speaking frankly, I want to say to you, if you work for a supervisor who would rather have you as a level 5 do level 4 work and a level 4 go on higher level, well, see, that supervisor is either one or two things. The average don't know what he's doing supervisor, or, and we have to look at this real, if that supervisor thinks or feels that by having a different level 4 go on higher level to replace you in what you should be doing, if they feel it's more productive, then they have a right to make that choice. Now, one would argue, why would you give away level 5 responsibilities when you already are paying a level 5? But if you're still getting paid your level 5 and they have you doing other duties, on the surface, it seems like a really silly decision. But if that supervisor feels that it is worth it, he's getting more bang for his buck, so to speak, by having two level 5s, because the other level 5 may work at a pace that covers whatever productive standards that the supervisor has in his mind. Bad decision, but there is no grievance there. And talk to me if you think I'm wrong, please. And when I say no grievance, that is unless you have specific language in your local that makes this a violation. But based on our national agreement in your job description, that using just those two references, I say there's no grievance there. And lastly, a question pertaining to FMLA. Well, listen, mail handlers, FMLA, again, I think if you have any kind of condition that qualifies for FMLA, that it's a benefit extended to you, and if you are entitled to it, I would definitely and strongly recommend that you utilize it, because there's nothing worse than having a chronic illness or condition that requires you to be off work with a regular pattern, and now you're off work taking care of your illness, then coming back to work only to find out that there may be discipline waiting for you. So if you have FMLA, it protects you under circumstances such as that. Most FMLA is unscheduled leave, because of your chronic illness, it can flare up at any time, and federal law protects you should that happen. Now, listen, you have to understand that no one can tell you when you can and cannot use FMLA. I don't really care what the circumstances are. And when I say no one can tell you, let me qualify that. Once you have submitted a request to HR, Shared Service, for FMLA, you provided documentation as requested by HR, Shared Service, and you have an approved FMLA case. Now, you have to understand, approved FMLA case, your doctor is going to get with the Department of Labor, and they're going to say or agree that you can be off so many days for so much time. It's called intervals and frequencies, okay? You can be off 2 days a week, up to 8 hours a day. And most managers don't realize this, and then they find out later after you've expanded or extended your frequency. But I say to you, if you are off work more than you are originally authorized, then all you need to do is simply return to your doctor and have them adjust that. Because you can still use FMLA outside of your frequencies initially. But at some point, postal management is going to say you were authorized this many days, you use this many days, and it brings us into a whole new level of conversation when they then try to take action on you. And that's a whole different level of conversation. But I want you to know, FMLA protects you. No one can tell you how or when you can and cannot use your FMLA. Just understand that. If you go over your frequencies, then there's some additional conversation that's going to be had. But again, that's your right to do so. And that right is guaranteed by a federal law, not the United States Postal Service. Hey, that's my podcast for this morning. Have a great day. And I'm sure we'll be talking on a regular basis. 180 degrees, new direction. We want to be your new leadership for the headquarter element of National Postal Mail Handlers Union, Local 304. Good day.
Vote.
Ken. Hodge. Local. Press. The dent.